Thank you. So I'll start with how projects are selected to be evaluated. So we do have a policy that says that any project that has a budget over $1 million USD is evaluated. So that's the first criteria. So any project that's large enough will have an independent evaluation. But then a development account project, so a lot of our projects are development account projects, and half of them automatically get evaluated. So at some point, the development account project management team decide which ones will be evaluated. So half of them, they used to be all evaluated, but now we do half of them. And there are also established criteria for selecting which ones get evaluated. And some donors also insist on having an independent evaluation. Sometimes it can be done externally, but if we can accommodate the evaluation in-house, we will do it. So we will do it managing, we will manage the evaluation as the independent evaluation unit, hiring external consultants. So in terms of project evaluations for projects in Asia, we do have, so a lot of the projects that we evaluate are all global in nature. So the COVID-19 development account projects, they were global. So the transport and trade connectivity project, the one on MSMEs. So yeah, a few of them, the ECD, so a lot of them will be global in nature. And yes, I think the development account, because they are smaller projects, they tend to be focused in some countries. So this is why you see in particular Africa or Caribbean and so on. So that's why. But most of our projects will be global. And on the inavailability of data and how do we compensate for that? So, well, first, for long-term results, so because we tend to have the evaluation just after the project has ended, the long-term results will not happen yet. So what we do when we are doing these types of project evaluations, we look at the likelihood that the project will achieve the long-term results. So we will conduct interviews, we will look at what's happened so far, what was the take-up of some of the recommendations, what are the plans in place for sustaining results. So then the evaluator can make an assessment of how likely it is that the long-term results will be achieved. So this is the type of conclusion they usually come up with. If you're looking at, if you're trying to assess long-term results in a program, then you can do that. So if you're looking at, if you are continuing to collect data for the ECD program or other programs over time, so the project team, then you can make a more informed assessment of whether medium to long-term results have been achieved. So this is why we encourage also the long-term monitoring of results. And on how we do, there was a question on questionnaires, so surveys. So we do use surveys. We use, so usually we'll use a combination of data collection tools and methods. So surveys is a popular one because it's easy to administer, but we also do interviews and we will do observations sometimes. We will look at documents. So these are some of the key types of data collection tools. Surveys, sometimes there are too many. There's a lot of survey fatigue, so we will complement that. And I think the key in evaluations is to triangulate different sources of information to come to the conclusion. So we try to do that as much as possible, so get information from multiple sources so that we can triangulate that information and substantiate what we're saying. On efforts to improve the systematic approaches to mainstreaming UN cross-cutting issues, I think we've already put in place some tools to do that or mechanisms. So the checklist, for example, that TCS has introduced, so they already have a checklist on gender mainstreaming. So it will ask for each project that's being planned, there's a checklist of did you consider XYZ. So they've introduced checklists as well for environmental sustainability, for human rights, for disability inclusion. So I think that's a way of getting project teams to consider ought to ask themselves these questions. But we also find in evaluations that it's not sufficient, because you do have to have the capacity to be able to do the gender analysis, to be able to consider these issues. So what evaluators tend to say as well is that we need to have training, and I think that's also been put in place. So we have a few places now. The courses that we do have on gender and trade, for example, are open to staff if they want to take it. So there are ways of encouraging staff to build the capacity on doing that type of assessment. On the link to the program plan, so we share our lessons learned with management, with staff, and these are taken into account as they develop the program plan. So we do have these mechanisms where we share our lessons, and hopefully that feeds back into the program planning and decision making. Thank you.